You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Acknowledge the privilege it's ours and the opportunity to share in your unveiled truth. And recognizing our limitations and our needs, once again we look to you for grace as you cleanse us and sanctify us, as you energize us of yourself, in order that your purposes might be accomplished right here and right now. Thus we pray that you will rebuke the enemy, hedge us in this morning, as much as the material that we have is so vital in our thinking. And we do want to thank you for attending to each detail. And this is because we ask these graces, your blessing, cleansing, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. To pull our thinking together now, some 2 or 3 months ago we started this series on the kingdom or the government of God. And we saw how that God in the original created the heavens and the earth, and they became a chaos, telling us of a blessing, of a great catastrophe that took place as a result of a rebellion in heaven by Satan. Hence, the so-called 7 days of creation in the Bible really have reference to a reconstruction or recreation. We do not know how many ages passed between that catastrophe until the reconstruction began, and lastly, Adam was created. We do know how long it's been since Adam was created, but that's a far cry from how old this old planet is. We saw how Adam was given dominion by God, and how Adam set aside that dominion inasmuch as he rebelled against God when he partook of the fruit. And yet God in his mercy pronounced to Satan in the presence of Adam that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, and Satan would bruise his heel. We saw how that inasmuch as all that Satan knew was then that somewhere in history that someone would come who would destroy the works of the devil. So he set about to dehumanize the race. If he could have successfully done that, God's plans would have been frustrated, inasmuch as the angelic world then cohabited with men. This brought about a dehumanizing factor, which God destroyed in the flood. Only 8 people came through that flood. At the close of the flood, God set up what we call today human government. Up until that time, God had been the government. But from that day to this, human government has been put into man's hands. And the basis of all human government is that if a man should shed a man's blood, his blood should be shed by man. Pure and simple, this is capital punishment. This is the strongest of all legal things. You note that the purpose of human government is man's protection against man. You would have thought that a man 600 years old, who having seen what took place prior to the flood, would have learned a lesson. We read that in those days they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the flood came and took them away. First thing Noah did, though, was to plant a vineyard and get drunk. Now, you see, that's no wonder that God called human beings sheep. They never learn anything. Sheep's about the dumbest animal there is. You'll even see the sheep get killed in front of it on the slaughter pen, awkward it up and get killed itself. I want to make it their value. So we don't learn anything. If history proves anything, it proves that man never learns from history. God had told Noah and his, when they came off of the ark, to go over the planet and to replenish it. Some 200 years later, under the rebellion of Nimrod, we read that the whole earth was in one language and a one speech. That is, they all paired to the same thing. That's perfect unity. In unity, there's strength. And their strength was to be against God. Hence, they built that great Tower of Babel. They said, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad. That's exactly what God had told them to do. God came down and dispersed the nations and brought into existence the continents that we now have. In those days, we learned that prior to those days, that Earth was a one solid mass. The continents that we have today came into existence as a result of the Babel and the dispersion of the nations. 70 nations came into existence at that time. Up until that time, they were called the sons of Adam. From those 70 nations, which came from three fountainheads, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, most of us here are Japhetic. We have an exception to the rule on the back seat back there, a Shemite. But most of us are Japhetic people. We'll see why in a minute. In any case, the nations came into existence at that time. Now, with the Tower of Babel began a system that permeates society to this day. Eventually, we learned last week, that system is going to be destroyed when we read of the destruction of Babylon, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. At that point in history, God turned from dealing with any particular nation to one man, Abraham. Now, this morning, though, we want to look at the things that caused God to set aside to move away from nations to one man, Abraham. Abraham, next week we'll be looking at him, because all the promises in the revealed plan of God were made to Abraham, and they're unconditional. We'll be dealing with the difference between conditional covenants, like next week, and unconditional covenants. But all the covenants that were made with Abraham are unconditional. They all depend upon God, not upon man. Turning to the Ephesian letter, before we get into our study in Romans, in the second chapter, in verse 11, Paul here writing to the Gentile nations, that's us. This is very important to you. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made without by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's speaking to us, ladies and gentlemen. Outside of a couple of Shemites on the back. But in any case, God had set aside the nations at Babel and turned to one man, Abraham. He made his promises to Abraham. The Shemitic people, incidentally, are coming from Abraham. That's why the difference is. But we poor Gentile dogs had no promises of God. None whatsoever. The only hope the Gentile had was that somewhere in history that nation would actually become a convert of their Creator. And through that nation, they would evangelize us Gentiles. But since the nation rejected their Messiah, and since there was no hope for us, God brought into revelation, to existence, a new revelation called, Paul calls it the mystery or the sacred secret of God, that which was worked out from before the foundation of the world, long before any promises were ever made to Abraham. Hence, this will help you to understand when Jesus said the days of his flesh, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We were the last to come into the revealed, hidden purpose of God. We're the first to come into their blessing. Israel was the first to have the revealed plan of God given to them, but they're the last to come into blessing. Now today, however, God was in Christ 2,000 years ago. He came down, incorporated himself in a body to make reconciliation for the sins of the human race, and he poured out all his wrath at that time upon his Son. So that today, God is offering us peace. It isn't negotiable. You have to receive it. There's no conditions. You either yes or no. Hence, those who receive Christ, we read in Romans 5, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. The war is over. But it depends upon us responding. Now, at the Tower of Babel, this is why God turned from the nations. Verse 18. The wrath of God is unveiled. From heaven, this is unveiling a revelation from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress or hold down the truth. Today, in this enlightened 20th century, the powers that be do everything they can to suppress the truth. And they've done a pretty good job, too. Make no mistake about that. See, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. How has he showed it? The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You walk out of this place at night and look up into the heavens, you find one of the most intricate systems that that the human mind can imagine. It is so exact in every detail that you can actually portray, forecast in the future, 1,000 years from now, and know exactly what time such a star will be in such a place at what minute. It's that perfect. It's so perfect that the most perfect timepiece in the world, so I'm told it is, I don't know, I'm quoting, this is a rumor, that the most perfect timepiece in the world is buried under the ground in Washington, D.C. As perfect a time as it is, it has to be reset every 24 hours. And you know how they set it? By the exactness of the stars. And yet, man today denies a designer behind the design. He promotes an evolutionary theory. And the littlest child who ever lived should know better than that. Reminds me of years ago, there was a famous atheist named Ingersoll. You're probably a little too young to remember him. But anyway, he went around the country lecturing. And a minister invited him to his home. And that night, they were sitting in the room after the service. Mr. Ingersoll observed a clock upon the mantel. He said, "My, what a marvelous piece of work that is. Who made it?" The minister said, "Well, Mr. Ingersoll, nobody made that clock. It just happened." You see, that's how silly evolution is. The most basic things in nature tell you otherwise. The red bird still makes his nest like he always did. He didn't change. He's not evolved a new nest. The crane flies to the north every spring, and the fall he flies to the south every time. He doesn't change. The only thing that changes is man's imagination. And that's what God goes on to tell us. Notice. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. What do you think holds all those stars up there? What do you think makes them run on schedule? That's right. Everything consists in his hands. Amen, brother. Somebody been reading the book. Because that when they knew God, just going back to Babel, when they made their first big rebellion, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They weren't grateful for what God had done for them, but they became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened, and they professed themselves to be wise, and actually they were very much foolish. Times have not changed a lot today. We got so smart now that we can tell you how old this planet is. And we can tell you what time the stars will run around. You know, we're learning a lot about God, but you're denying him. They profess themselves, and they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into image, made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. This is the history of man. You go back through history, you'll see it. Look at all the worships through time immemorial. And you'll see that's what men have worshipped. They've taken stones and trees and cut them out, made images. They still do it. I remember just a few years back, the Romans used to have a statue they put up on the dashboard of Christopher. It's supposed to protect you up to 70 miles an hour. I don't know why you didn't have power to go on and do that. And you know, intelligent people put those things on their car. It's not funny, really. It is funny. It's sickening. It's saddening. Well, let's not laugh at them. Let's be a little more realistic. Today, the world is going after the god of mammon. Yeah. The almighty dollar. See? That's the new god. Of course, I know you people don't care anything about that, but they did not glorify him that way. They became vain in their imaginations. Verse 24, God gave him up. That's the saddest, one of the saddest statements in all the Bible. He gave the nations up. Next week we'll see how he took one man out of all the nations and started a new ball game. God gave them up to the uncleansed, the lust of their own hearts, the dishonor of their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into the lie. Not a lie, but the lie. And they worship and serve the created thing more than the Creator. Have you looked in the glass lately to see how nice a looking you are and what you're doing for yourself lately? That's a created thing, you know. Or have you looked in the book to see the Creator? Of course, you wouldn't do that. But serve the created more than the Creator. And for this cause, now note, beloved, wonder why we have so many difficulties in this old world? Because God is not recognized. The God of this world today is Satan. Paul tells us that in the Corinthian letter. He's the one who's worshipped. Notice the final result of a turning from light. A lot of people wonder why we have this upheaval in amongst perversion in sexual matters. You've always had adulterers, whores, and whoremongers. There's nothing new about that. And, of course, you've always had a certain amount of unnatural sex or sensual things. But today, there's such a rash of it. And I hear all the smarts telling us how it works, you know. Some of it say it's inherited, and some of it say it's a matter of environment. It's that and it's rejection of light, beloved. You reject the truth, you leave yourself open to the lie. That changes things in nature, notice. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. I don't think I have to explain that. I think you understand what happened. Not only the women, but likewise the men. The natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now these people want to be treated like first-class citizens. And they're not first-class citizens, beloved. They're animals. They've gone back to the basic nature of animals. That's exactly what they've done. And God has allowed it because of their rejection of light. There's all sorts of perversions. And God points this out as one of the worst. So when people try to justify themselves in this perversion, it's because they have rejected the light. They don't want the truth. Occasionally you will find one who does. His life can be turned. It's not hopeless. God is giving him grace. In other words, God has poured out his wrath against every sin that's ever been committed. And he did that on his son. Today he's offering peace, reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world and himself. The offer is there, beloved. I'm not mad at you. He's just waiting for a response. That's what it is. But how can a just God reach you unless he makes you know that you have a need? And that's what this is all about. If you reject this, though, the wrath will come in all of its fury one day. Notice, they do not like to retain God in their knowledge, so they set up churches. We've got homosexual churches. I don't know if you knew. There are all kind of perversion churches, not just that one. We've got more liberal preachers in the pulpits preaching from this book, and they don't believe this book. That's like a man taking an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and not believing it. Same thing. That's a hypocrite. While I'm on that word, you know, that word is a Greek word. You know what it means? It means an actor. Back in the days of Greece, at its time, all the actors wore a little mask. I don't know if you ever saw in the paintings of ancient Greece or not, but. And they wore a mask in their hand. They put it over their face. So that you. What it tells you is this, that the person being played was not the real person, somebody hiding behind a mask. That's a hypocrite. That's an actor. This will help you to understand why there's so much filth and rottenness comes out from the West Coast out there, as well as Oklahoma City, too. You see what I mean? Because they're hiding behind a mask. Of course, you people never hide behind a mask. I know, you're just open as a book. My grandmother used to say she'd seen a lot of books open, but she didn't care about reading them. Anyway, the thing about it is, they do not like to retain God, but they can't get away from it. But God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things that are inconvenient or convenient. It lists a whole catalog of perversion. fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters. Whispers, see? Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Boy, that word is really wore out today. All you need to do is turn on any channel. You hear people say, "I'm so proud of, I belong to Oklahoma, the team, the Sooners. You know, I'm proud to be a Sooner." Well, I've lived through most of the Sooner days. I was born just 2 years after statehood. I confess that a lot of things I've seen I'm not very proud of. In Oklahoma, too. It is a cut above most of the states. But that's nothing to be proud of. Anything we have is to be very grateful for, not proud. If God has given you some of the extras of life, if you've had some of the so-called successes of life, don't boast in the fact that you're a self-made man. God hates self-made men, I'll tell you that. And a man pulled himself up by his own bootstraps, and he begins to be proud of that, although nobody can. Do you ever try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps? It don't work. You see, there's no such thing as a self-made man. But time and chance happens to them all. You may be the cleverest fellow that ever walked on 2 feet. You may have the greatest plans in the world. But if your timing is off, it'll go down the drain. See? Time is everything. We're creatures of time. You're sitting here in a time capsule. And it fleets right on by. Why we're told to buy up the time. See? Every investment that you make in this life is turning on time. Think about that. Every investment, I don't care what it is, it's all turning on time. How much of that time are you buying up for the Lord? That's the question. How much of that time are you buying up for yourself and your own selfish wants? This is a question all of us have to face. You know, it isn't limited to any one. After this horrible list of things, they know the judgment of God, and they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, evil begets evil. That's why you find young people today, their peers put so much pressure on them in order to conform, to get along, to be recognized, they conform. See? Misery loves company, in other words. A man that's a dope addict, he wants to addict his best friend. What a friend he has. Makes a mockery of the word friendship. You see? If you look at things in this life, you see that actually, God, if he were not very gracious to us today, he'd wipe this civilization off of the map, beginning right here in this church, Northside Bible Church. Okay. And we got our just desserts. I remember in World War II, there was some A lot of inhumane things happen. And I remember some of the expressions you'd hear among the fellows. And as is a God, he wouldn't let this go on. He'd take care of the enemy, you know. But you know, beloved, if God did intervene, he'd take care of that fellow too. You don't stop to realize that. You better be thankful that God doesn't intervene. If he did, he'd intervene righteously. And I don't want to stand before God on the basis of my righteousness. I trust that you don't. But you see, beloved, when God was in Christ reconciling the world, to those who responded to that offer of peace, He would clothe them in the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ would take upon Himself all my filthy rags and clothe me in His glorious righteousness. That's a pretty good trade. But man doesn't believe. You see, there's the problem. He rejects what God has offered him. He had it on all sides. Now, it's one thing to look back in history to see what God has done. But notice the first verse of chapter 2, Romans, and we're just about ready to quit. You're excusable, unexcusable, O man, whosoever are that judges. Wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou judgest, for thou that judgest, doest the same things. That doest means to practice. Now, there's none of us, as the Bible said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. There's no such thing as sin as perfection in this life. No such thing as healing in this life. Somebody said, oh, I know somebody got healed. Had terrible disease, they got over. No, they didn't. There is healing in the atonement of Christ, that's true. But the only healing will be when this corruptible man will put on incorruption. I'll be healed of every disease then. Healing today is like a man who has a headache. He takes an aspirin tablet. He gets the headache back the next day, though. You see what I mean? It all comes back. There's no such thing as healing in this life. I've had a cold for 3 weeks. I'm showing, I don't know whether me or my cold is showing the improvement, but it's at least I'm getting along a little bit better. But I'm not healed, and I won't be as long as I live in this body of death. You see? Death is operating in me. As I speak to you, I'm dying. As you sit out there listening, you're dying. And the only remedy for that is life. Now that's not... I explain this way. There's several words for life in the Bible. This biological life that we have is doomed to death. There's no way out of it, beloved. You'll never get out of this world alive. Man doesn't live like that. You know, that's the first lie that Satan said. He said to the woman, thou shalt not surely die. And you know, the world believes that old lie. They don't think they're going to die. In spite of the fact that that black Mariah testifies every day as he goes up the highway. See? They still don't believe. They live as if they're going to live forever. There's a payday coming, though, you see. Real simple. And you can escape the wrath of God that we've been reading about. The horribleness of this, if you make peace with God, or rather let accept the peace terms of God. Otherwise, one day you will meet Him either as your Savior or as your judge. You see? I sure don't want to meet Him as my judge. I want to meet Him as my Savior, you see? I think in hitting these high places in the lesson this morning, you will realize, if you think soberly, that your problems, the city of Oklahoma City's problems, your friends' problems, the county of Oklahoma's problems, the state of Oklahoma's problems, the United States' problems, the problems of the world, are simple. They have rejected the light that God has given them. That's why you see all these shows. If you listen to Donahue especially, you hear every kind of a convert, everything under the sun is discussed there. But there's never a conclusion. Why? Because they have no authority. You see? No authority at all. All authority, beloved, must be under authority. You see? And that authority must recognize the supreme authority, which is God the governor. See? That's what the government of God is all about. That government is resisted and rejected on every hand. From the highest mogul to the guy on Skid Row. Same thing. All the same boat. And yet God's grace is out there for every man. God was in Christ reconciling the world in Himself, not imputing their sins to them. Boy, you can't improve on that. But when it just sounds too good to be true. It is too good to be true, but it is. Why? Because God said it. Let me say this in closing. I sure hate to stop here, but we're going to pick up next week here, show how that because of man's rebellion, God chose one man to work through. And through that one man, a nation came into existence that could have been the vessel to use to bring the light to all men. Since they rejected it, God has a revealed hidden plan now for us. And it's important that we understand that. Next week we'll be dealing with that in some depth, eventually all of it. But let me say this in closing. I don't care how low you sink. I don't care how high you attain in life. If you pass through this 70 and reject that grace of God, you'll go down to hell, wherever that is. I'm not arguing it's a lake of fire or what. I don't care what it is. God says lake of fire. I'm not going to argue the case. But in any case, wherever that is, that means a separation from God. There is no hope. There's no second chance. You got your second chance right now. Pick it up there next week. Father, thank you again for the word. We pray that the Holy Spirit now will use it in our life to cause us to be strengthened in the inner man, to be very grateful this morning for the grace that's extended to us and for the opportunities that we have to buy up the time to share in the things that are eternal. We pray this your blessing on your own here this morning to that end. And if by chance there's somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray for a spirit of restlessness until that one comes to rest in Christ. Thank you, Father, for attending to every detail that we've talked about here. And this grace, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.